Would you open with me again to John's Gospel, chapter 3? Now turn to verse 12 in particular, which I think serves as something of a hinge, a transition between two sections of what Jesus had to say to Nicodemus. Let's just read again in verse 12, John chapter 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? We have sayings, don't we, along the lines, don't run before you can walk, or he's trying to run before he can walk. Have you ever seen a toddler do that, where it's like just trying to walk and a bit hesitant, but it's almost like the legs just start to move faster and they can't keep up, and one of the results is tumbling over? And perhaps when that happens, as we often do in different parts of life, maybe trying to build a Eurofighter instead of a paper plane, that we get discouraged when we fail. Or there's other reasons we don't get beyond the first step because we haven't tried that first step. There's something of that in what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, because he has been talking about what he here describes as earthly things. And he says, we need to sort that out. You need to have this, you need to have acceptance of these things before you will ever get to the heavenly things. I want to reflect on this and the course of what Jesus is teaching to this teacher in Israel. To look then first at the earthly things, the first things we are told in Scripture, the first things, and to believe those first, and then to be able to go on to the greater things, the heavenly things as we have them called here, and believe those as well. So it's simply to set out what is the first thing in particular, to ensure that we understand what it is to believe that, and then to move on and to pick up what is the heavenly thing, the greater thing, and to believe that also, what that means. The first things we are told, what Jesus here calls the earthly things, that I have been talking to you about, that's the sense of this verse. He's saying, well, I've been talking to you, you don't know these things, verse 10. Well, if you don't know those things, how can we move on? Those things that he has been talking about, that he has told Nicodemus, from verse 3 through to verse 8, really. These are the things that Nicodemus needed to receive first. And until that was in place, it's not that there's just no point, it's impossible to go further. Verse 10, Jesus asks him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Now, knowing can be something that's just in the head, but very often in the Bible it is also further than that. It is to know for yourself and to say, yes, this really does apply to me. I receive it. I believe it. What are we talking about here? What are the earthly things? What is the main earthly thing that he has in mind? And it is what he begins with, his key answer to Nicodemus when Nicodemus introduced the discussion. It almost seems to us that Jesus is talking at a completely different angle to what Nicodemus is speaking about. And Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can I take you back just a little at the last verses of chapter 2, it tells us that there were many who believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Well, that would seem to be what might be indicated with Nicodemus. He's talking about the great signs, and he's come to the conclusion that this is a teacher come from God. He believes in him so far. But chapter 2, verse 24 says, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Remember that when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says what he says. You are a teacher come from God. I'll acknowledge that. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wait to say, so what's your point? He knows what the point is. That was the point of these teachers and their response to Jesus. It was their heart's desire. If this is a teacher come from God, maybe he can show us the way. Maybe he can show us the way to find what we most want, which is to be right with God. Or perhaps, put it another way, what we most want is to come under God's blessings. That's what we're after. So Jesus sets straight into that and he says, if you want God's blessings, it is in the kingdom of God, and there is a way into that kingdom. And I will tell you what that way is. It is that you must be born again, or born from above. Some versions will put it. Let's focus on the main thing. Let's not be too elaborate about getting there. This is what you must have. And it's no different for any one of us than it was for Nicodemus. It's this that Jesus has in mind when he talks about later about the earthly things that we need to believe and understand first. It is an earthly thing. It's something that we should be able to grasp. A teacher in Israel as Nicodemus especially should have grasped this. The prophets had told of this a number of times. One of the clearest is in Ezekiel chapter 36, where God said to the people of Israel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Totally new, a complete rebuild was promised back in the prophets, which a teacher in Israel knew. He knew the words. But Jesus' question says, but you don't know these things? You don't know the application of these things? Can't you connect the two? That Old Testament prophet you know so well, and this call on your own life, you also need this new heart. Nicodemus misinterprets what Jesus says. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus deals with it at an entirely physical level. How can a man, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? We don't know what Nicodemus' spirit was at the time. Was he being deliberately obscure, or was he seriously disconnected from what Jesus was saying? We don't know. But Jesus treats it very graciously, and he elaborates. He explains what he is saying. This born again is to be born in a different way. Not through a mother's womb again. Not a physical birth. Unless one, verse 5, is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's a different kind of birth. A new birth in that way. That's something different. And he explains the simple logic behind it. This is why it is an earthly thing. Because it is something that should simply make sense to us when we hear it. He says, in verse 6, for example, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. God is spirit. It's a spiritual kingdom. So if you are to be part of that spiritual kingdom, it must be a spiritual concern. It must need a spiritual life. Do you have that spiritual life? And until you do, you will not be able to see or enter this kingdom, spiritual kingdom. Do you have that life, Nicodemus? The life that you and I have today? Is it that life suited for the kingdom of God? Do we have a new birth to new life in spirit? Are you suited for God's kingdom? God's kingdom, which is spiritual, God's kingdom, which is righteous, God's kingdom, which is holy, faultless, sinless. Revelation, John wrote it, recorded it. He said there will be nothing that defiles will enter in. Are you ready to enter that kingdom? This life needs to go. Being absorbed in the earthly realms, that's all there is to life, that needs to go. Nicodemus, anyone must have a spiritual birth. And in that sense, it's earthly. There's a simple logic to this that you set it out in a logical argument. It's understandable. You're dealing with a different realm, a different kingdom. All I need to do is look at myself. Honestly, do I have what it takes to enter God's kingdom in all His holiness? And I don't. I remember seeing a little piece of video one day, and we struggle at times to talk to strangers about sin, for example. But these people were, they had cameras, and they were going through a zoo, and they stopped to talk to somebody who was looking at, I don't know, tigers or something. And they said, can I just talk to you for a minute? He said, are you a sinner? No, this young man. Do you do anything wrong? Well, I suppose I do a bit of this and a bit of that. To be honest with ourselves is to say, we are not ready in ourselves for the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must have a new life in you to be born of water, the cleansing, and the Spirit. Otherwise, there is no way of entering the kingdom of God and coming under His everlasting blessings. In that sense, this is earthly. It is something about you. It is something about me. It is something about our hearts. Although our hearts can deceive us, yet there is something in us that we can see and we can own up to our condition. I am not fit on my own to see or to enter the kingdom of God. And it's that we must believe first. Believe it. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, do you believe this simple beginning that Jesus puts in front of us? Could ask, do you agree? And that can come at two levels, perhaps. First of all, simply that it does make sense, that you can follow through the logic. If I'm going to enter God's kingdom, things have to be different. You can go so far. What Jesus is talking about is going further. That it's not just true logically, but it's true for me. It does apply to me. If I go on as I began. I will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Take this as a personal application. That's what confession is. It's acknowledging that God, what God says is true for me. If I am to look at God's kingdom, it has to be, if it is truly God's kingdom, it has to be His holy presence. Yet I am sinful. I'm not going to get in as I am. You know, there is a hymn that some people know, at least many people know, the first bar, as it were, just as I am. But if you read on through that hymn, it's not saying I get into the kingdom just as I am and God will accept me. It's saying I will come to Jesus as I am. And I will come under His healing. I will come under His cleansing so that I may then enter the kingdom changed with a new life through faith in Christ. As I am, I will not get in. I will be received by Jesus for transformation as I am. But that personal application, that personal receiving of these things is what Jesus is looking for an acknowledgement of the reality of this life and the life to come. I must have this new birth. Without that, there is no point in saying anything else. I could tell you where you would find, my example is PC World in Guildford. You say, well, okay, you can tell me that. And as soon as I've heard it, I'll forget it. On the other hand, if I were to tell you, or someone was to tell you, they've looked at your computer at home and they've looked at the problems that you're facing and they say, they convince you, yes, you need some new computer gear, it's then that you can move on and say, so tell me, where will I get it? You can then, that further information, that further instruction, it will then be useful, but not before. It's when we acknowledge that I need a new heart. I have a problem. It's broken. My life is broken. I need a new heart. I need this work of the Spirit within me. It's then that what Jesus also has to say, those wonderful heavenly things, it's then that they mean something. It's then that those too can be applied and believed in our hearts. The greater things that he then moves on to beyond verse 12, he has been talking about what we need to grasp first and then to turn to him. And then he tells us what he will do about it. From verse 13 in particular, the heavenly things. We've become adjusted. We need to become adjusted. We have become adjusted at this point for him to speak to us that it's not my efforts to do good, not my efforts not to do wrong. And that's as far as it goes for many to say, well, I'll get to heaven. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying not to do wrong. But unless it's a new heart, a new life, a spiritual life, it's just like the physical birth. My physical birth was not my doing in any way whatsoever. I need it. I need a new spiritual birth. Let me look for it where it is offered. If we see our need of God's kingdom, let's see too God's provision, which Jesus does speak of. He's made a brief reference to it, I think, in verse 11. He's saying, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And then he tells us what that means in verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. These are heavenly things. The answer to this must come from heaven. It must come from that kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom, because, as in verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. If it is to be a spiritual birth, it must come from the Spirit of God. It's God's provision from heaven. It's God who provides this new way, this new birth, this entry into his kingdom. It's he who came down from heaven, verse 13. It's in verse 16, which many would regard as John's reflection on what Jesus has taught. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's all about this Son of Man, this Son of God, who was then to be lifted up for man's salvation. It's God's kingdom, it's God's provision, and we have God's instruction. I will send my Son, you must believe in him. Believe in his Son, trust in him, join yourself to him. Don't insist on your own independence. Through him, receive this new life, living with him. That instruction is to believe in him. The heavenly things are all wrapped up in this one heavenly thing, that it is in the Son of Man coming amongst us that we will find that new birth, and we will find that entry into God's kingdom. By believing in these heavenly things too. Believe God's Son did come down from heaven. Nicodemus has given a hint of a recognition of that, but it needs to go further. He says, you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these things unless God is with him. God is at work in this Son. And that's what Jesus continues repeatedly through John's Gospel, continues to say, that look at what I'm doing. They bear witness to who I am, as do his words. God's Son has come down from heaven. And where the first part has logic to it that we can trace out and receive, this doesn't in nearly the same way. Why should God do this? It's simply because he loves the world, a world that is opposed to him. Only by receiving that earthly truth will we enter into the possibility of understanding, of believing and receiving this one. The way things were, there was an impassable obstacle to entry to seeing God's kingdom. It's once you confess that, and that obstacle being my own heart and the sin in my own heart, once you confess that, then God will deal with you. We've sung of it. We've sung of that cry to the Lord, casting ourselves upon him. He will answer. He does answer. This is his answer. I will send my Son, who is the light. But you must believe in him too. Receive that light. Through this wonderful gift of his own Son, God overcomes that barrier, that obstacle. It's then that you will see. Remember that image of the light that John deals with in verse 20, for example? Then you will see and you will gladly receive that there is no other way. And it's by that faith, that believing, that receiving, that you will not perish, verse 16, but have everlasting life. That's a brief sketch through, and that transition that Jesus has in mind. And there is certainly that one thing needful that we must grasp, the need to be born again. This is the one thing that divides the human race from one another. Oh well, we look at all sorts of different things that seem to divide, and but they're earthly. This is the one thing that divides us truly and lastingly. The answer to this question: do I need something entirely new? Or will the old way do? The way that I've been going? Why can't I present my own goodness? It may be religious ritual and routine. It may be our understanding of good works. Why can't I present that? Because those are merely earthly things. And the kingdom of God is a heavenly. If we are to enter into that, we need a new spiritual life. Why can't I present my own goodness? Or will we come saying, I now confess, but there is always something that will prevent me from personally knowing God? That's what it means to go to heaven, which many people do want. Jesus tells us plainly, the way you will get there to the kingdom of heaven is to have this new spiritual life within you, a new birth. The old will not do. Do you see that? To enter His holy presence, start at the beginning. Where is your birth? Is it just in this earth? Or is it also into heaven? And then you will see the rest. Then you will understand how all this is perfectly suited. You will discard yourself and every hope that you might otherwise have had. And with the Apostle Peter, you will find a living hope in the risen Lord Jesus, the one who has been sent, the one who gave himself, the one who died, and the one who rose again. For today, we close there. May God bless his word to us. This word in particular: unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God grant blessing on his word here today. Let us pray together.